I'm going to jump right into the Word. As you remain standing, pull your Bibles out and go with me to 1 Kings chapter number 18. And we're going to continue our series here that we've been teaching on the life of Elijah, where we're a biblical account where there is a drought going on. But Elijah prays, and when he prays for the rain. Someone say, Lord, send the rain. Now, what is so significant about the rain is that the rain is actually a picture of God pouring out His presence, His blessing, and who He is. And so this year, we're calling it the year of revival, and we're asking God to send the rain because we want more of His presence, more of His blessing, more of His hand. Come on, just say amen. And so in this text that we're reading, there is a drought for 3.5 years. How many years? 3.5 years. And when Elijah prays, the rain comes over the dry area. And so as we're studying this year, we're calling it the year revival. We're asking God to send His rain on every dry area. Every dry area. And again, it's a picture. It's a prophetic picture. It's an analogy. And I don't think it's by coincidence. Like we said, it's been raining like crazy in California. Come on, somebody. And it's all right. I'll take 3 claps. That's all right. God's moving. God's moving. And I believe it is a prophetic picture. It is a prophetic picture. And as it is dry in California, I know a lot of people are dry. Families are dry. But we're asking God to send His revival rain, the dormant thing, to come back to life. And so we're looking at how God used Elijah to bring this metaphorical rain in our lives. And here we go. 1 Kings chapter 18. Verse 41 through verse 44, the Bible reads like this. It says, and Elijah said to Ahab, he said, go eat and drink, for there is a sound of what type of rain? A heavy rain. That's right, a heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bent down to the ground, and he put his face between his knees. He got in a prayer position. This was actually a birthing position. But he started to pray to see God move based upon what he heard God say. And we have to pray to see what God says in our lives. And so verse 43, he says to his servant, he says, go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and he looked and he said, there is nothing there. He said 7 times, Elijah said, go back. How many times did Elijah say, go back? 7 times. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to go back multiple times. Say, you got to go back multiple times. Verse 44 says, the 7th time, the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. And so Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go before the rain stops you. I want to draw your attention that Elijah had to pray multiple times. In fact, the Bible says 7 times. And there are times in our lives that we will have to pray and seek God multiple times. And so I want to talk to you today a message that I've entitled, Stay Strong Till 7. Now, I'm not talking about 7 p.m. I'm not talking about 7 a.m. 7 is the number of completion. I want you to stay strong until you see completed what God promised He said He'd do. Come on, somebody. He prayed 7 times. We're fasting. In fact, today we completed 7 days of fasting. Come on, somebody. God's moving. And so we're really excited about that. I want to talk today about a message entitled Stay Strong Till 7. Let's pray one more time. Father, we thank You for Your word. And Lord, as we come to the portion of the service where we receive Your word, God, build us up this morning. Let Your word, Father, encourage us. Let it build our faith. I pray that today, God, as we come, we didn't come to hear the word of man, we came to hear the word of God. So Lord, feed us. And let our fears be minimized, our faith be maximized, so that we may accomplish what You called us to do. We love You. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Give God one more clap. You may be seated. And just turn to your neighbor and say, go back again. Tell them, go back again. And then turn to your second choice neighbor and say, you're my second choice. But just say this. Say, stay strong till 7. Just now and say, stay strong. Till 7. Stay strong till 7. I want to talk today around the topic of consistency and particularly about perseverance. I really feel God has given me a word to share to our church family, be able to serve you this morning. and to build you up. Because this is something that we're really going to need in our lives, is to learn and to develop a true perseverance to continue. Because if you lived any length of time, you know that good things don't happen real quick. One person. I said good things don't happen real quick. It takes a little time, right? You can't just microwave a good steak. It'll bounce off the floor. You got to let it marinate. So there are some things in our lives that are going to take time to develop. And we're going to need God in those things. And I really want to look at today's teaching. And I really mean it. If you would lean in, I really believe today it's going to build us up in a certain way. It's going to carry us. Because what we're going to find in this part of the story as we're going verse by verse, kind of precept upon precept, is that there's a quality that Elijah possesses that grasps the affection and the attention of God. And it's a quality and a characteristic that every believer must develop. We have to build it into our fortitude because we're not born with it. It has to be built in our lives. And I want to start. I'm going to take the long route, so just stay with me, okay? I'm going to get to the context of the verse, but y'all that know Freedom House, I like to take the scenic route. I'm going to show you all over, okay? And we'll get to it, all right? We'll get to it. But there are things that God grasps God's affection, and there are also things, conversely, that push God away. Much like us, let's be honest, okay? Like, if we're all honest, there are certain things that grasp our affection. Like, things that go make you go like, I appreciate that. Like, you know, being kind. Kindness is kind of rare sometimes now, where it's like, oh my Lord, you're being nice today. You're like, thank you, right? A smile. It's just certain things grasp your affection, and doesn't it just make you want to be nice back, right? Hopefully, amen, right? You know, eye contact. Someone looks you in the eye and smiles. You're just like, thank you. And so there are certain things in life that grasp your affection and make you go, I appreciate that, right? When a teenager is not hidden in a hoodie. Come on, somebody. Let's go. I'm preaching. Come on. Right? They're like, welcome to the world, okay? And you're like, I appreciate that, right? You know what I'm saying? And conversely, let's be honest, you're not a bad person, but there are certain things people do that push you away, you know? That, you know, maybe they're rude or they don't put their shopping cart back. Could you please put your shopping cart back? Okay? And not just leave it in the parking space. But anyway, there are certain things people do that you're just like, well, sorry, right? And they might be rude. And so that pushes you away. Now, the same is true with God, okay? And there are certain things that we do that will grasp the affection of God. But there are also certain things that push God away. There are things that we can manifest in our lives that will push God away. And I want to tell you, one of those things, I'm going to show you here in the verse, but I just want to tell you, one of those things that doesn't push God away is sin. Sin doesn't push God away. Okay, I'm going to mess with your theology a little bit right here. Because sin doesn't push God away. In fact, when somebody is in disobedience, God is working on their lives, trying to save them, transform them, and change them. And come on, you know you used to be messed up, tore up from the floor up, but God came and rescued you and changed you and loved you. Come on, somebody. So let me just, I want to settle the ground right there. Sin actually doesn't repel God. Now, of course, God's not okay with sin, but God is going to work on your life to try to get you to change. And I thank God he worked on my life, okay? And so he's going to work on our lives to bring us to repentance. But there is something that does repel God. And as a matter of fact, I just want to say this. Freedom House Church, you can come tore up from the floor up. I'm going to clap right there. Amen, Pastor Josiah. Just come to the house of God. Fall in love with God. Because I always said, if I could put a secondary sign outside the door, I said, Freedom House Church, I would put no perfect people allowed. Because I don't know where we get this mentality where you got to be perfect to go to church. Who told you that? Who told you got to be all put together? No, church is where we go to build our life, to put my mind together, to take my hurts, to take my habits, to let Jesus fix me up. Oh, somebody clap like the house of God is for the broken and the hurting. Shout amen. Okay, and not matter of fact, I'll just say I am sorry if anybody made it anything different. Well, you thought you go to church because you know. No. It doesn't repel God. In fact, God wants to work in your life. But there is something that does repel God. Now, again, I'm taking the long route, so just track with me, okay? James chapter 4, verse 6, here's how the Bible says it. It says, but he gives grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the who? The proud. But he gives grace to the who? God repels, he resists the proud. He actually pushes away the arrogance. What? That God will be like, your ego's too big for us. I got to step out of your narcissism. The Bible says God resists the proud. When you read the Bible, Jesus didn't repel the prostitute caught in sin. Jesus repelled the religious people that thought they were better than everybody else. I'm preaching real good. Help me, Lord. He called them. He says, you vipers, you whitewashed stone. He says, you guys are wicked. Why? Because you think you're so all that and a bag of chips with a little salsa on the side. God resists the proud. Pride, when pride steps in, God steps out. And so why does God step out on pride? Because pride, in summation, says, I don't need anything but me. And so pride repels God, and that's why humility is so powerful, because when we pray and we're like we're fasting, what we're saying, God, I need you more than my own power. That's why prayer is so powerful, worship is so powerful, because we finally come in contact with our weaknesses, knowing that, no, I'm not all that I actually need God in my life. I need help from other people. I'm not all perfect. I am a broken vessel, and God, I need you. And God says, I can work with that. Come on, somebody. He can work when you're willing to be humble and not have pride in your life. God resists the proud, amen? And I mean, that scares me. I'll tell you why it scares me. Because it's like a repellent. You know those mosquitoes that just bug you, and you spray it, and they can't come to you? When you're sprayed in pride, God's like, I can't get close to you. That's why I just want to humble myself. God, I humble myself. So God resists the proud. So there are characteristics. I'm going somewhere, okay? Tell your neighbor, pastor's going somewhere. Say, he's going somewhere. He's going somewhere, okay? Trust me. Just if you're here for the first time, you're like, does he ever get to his points? Sometimes. Just joking. I do, okay? But we journeying together. There are things that grab God's affection. One of those things is worship. John chapter 4 and verse 33, the Bible says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father, what? Seeks. So God is looking for worshipers. So God, again, his affection, when people start worshiping God, that is something that draws God's affection. Now, there is another characteristic, and this is the characteristic that I believe Elijah possessed, that Elijah had, that got the attention of God, and why I'm taking this long route here, because later we're going to read, the Bible says in James that Elijah was just a man like us, but yet he prayed fervently for it to rain, and the rain came, and that fervently actually means faithfulness. It means perseverance. And there is a characteristic that draws the attention of God, and that characteristic is faithfulness. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, the first part of the verse, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord, watch this here, okay? We're having Bible study. It says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth. Where are they searching? Only in church. No. Where are they searching? The whole earth. That means the street you live on. God's eyes are searching the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are what? Fully loyal, are fully committed, are fully all in, committed to him. If I was you, I would underline that word, fully committed. The Bible says God's eyes are looking for the real ones. He's like, I'm looking for the loyal ones. I'm looking for the ones, the ride or dies. Come on, somebody. God's like, I'm looking. His eyes are looking for the faithful ones. And he says, I want to show myself strong to the people that are like, Lord, I'm going to roll with you. If there's a drought, I'm going to roll with you. In a dry season, I'm going to roll with you. In the good times and the bad times. Are there any real ones out there? Come on, somebody. Because, you know, you don't know if someone's real until you've been through something. It's like newlyweds. Like, yo, we're just so made for one another. You're like, yeah, you are made for one another to build each other, teach each other how to forgive and how to humble yourself, okay, how to pray. I'm joking, come on, somebody. It's like, yeah, you are made for one another. But you know, you don't know until you've been through some stuff. How many know you don't know your real friends till you've been through some stuff? Four people. Come on, somebody. I say, you don't know your real friends till you've been through some stuff. Oh, they like you on payday. They like you when you can do stuff for them. But you know a real friend, you know a real person is when you're going through stuff, but they're still available there to pray for you, to encourage you, to help you, to be there. Come on, somebody. Clap for the real ones. Come on, let's clap for the real ones. Thank God for the real ones. Thank God for the real ones that are only a phone call away. Okay? Thank God for the real ones. And so God is the same. He's like, faithfulness, his eyes are looking to and fro. They're looking the whole earth to strengthen, to show himself strong on people that are loyal to him. Now, this is so powerful because this quality, and I'm going to get to the point here, that Elijah possessed of being faithful, the characteristic of getting God's attention and affection is so powerful because when it's all said and done, church, when we stand before God, there's one quality that God's going to say to us when we enter into heaven. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, Jesus speaks of the parable and how he passes away and enters heaven. I want to show you this verse. It's so powerful. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1. Watch what it says here. It says, and his Lord said to him, he said, well done, good and what? Faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy, which is the abode of God, of your Lord. And so everybody just look at me here. What this is saying is when we stand before God, listen to me, church. One day, when we go before God, because everybody has a birthday and everybody has an appointment to stand before God. And when we stand before God, let me tell you the quality Jesus is going to applaud you for. He's going to say, well done, my good and famous servant. Well done, my good and faithful servant, that you made it to the end. You completed your assignment. You were a real one. You didn't throw in the towel when other people threw in the towel. Jesus is going to celebrate your faithfulness. Why do you think the devil tries to steal your faithfulness? Thank you, Lord, because on that day, I believe we're going to stand before God faithful. Come on, somebody, clap because we're going to be faithful to God. See, Elijah possessed this characteristic of faithfulness and all that to get to here. Because while there was a 3.5-year drought, while there was a 3.5-year amount of dryness, Elijah didn't throw in the towel. Elijah still believed that God was able to turn things around. God was able to move things. And so the quality that we need to have, and we're going to believe God to send the rain, write this down. Point number one is the principle of perseverance. Write this down. Perseverance. Someone say perseverance. Perseverance. It is a characteristic of a mature person, but it's the characteristic, I like to call it, of a fighter. It's the characteristic of someone who's just like, it got some fight in them. Like, I'm going to persevere. And God looks at this quality as the quality to see the promise of God. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. Watch what the Bible says here. It says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36, it goes like this. It says, you need to persevere. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to persevere. Just tell him that. You need to persevere. No one tells me what I need to do, and that's your problem, okay? He says, you need to persevere. He says, so that, watch this here. When you have done the what? The will of God, you will receive what he what? Promised. In other words, to see what God has promised is your ability to persevere. It's our ability to be able to go through it and not throw in the towel to see what God has promised. And I believe in this season, if we're going to see revival, we're going to see God move in your home, your life, every dry area, you're going to need to have some perseverance. Tell your neighbor, say, you got to persevere. Say, you got to persevere. You got to persevere. And Elijah persevered. Now, what is perseverance? Look on your notes. I put the definition there. They might put it on the screens here. But to persevere means this. It means to continue in a course of action, even in the face of difficulty, with little or no prospect of success. Oh, Lord, help us. Oh, Lord, help us to persevere when there's little or no prospect of success. Josiah ain't saying this. God's saying this. He said, you need to persevere. God's saying, if you're going to see what he promised, you're going to need to persevere. You're going to need to be able to stand in the face of difficulty, look in the face of a dry season or a dry situation, and you got to be able to persevere and say, I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to go back to my old ways. I ain't going to kick it with Smokey again. I'm not going to go to my ex. That's why he's called your ex, because it was your ex, your past. I'm not going to go back to that place. I'm not going to be who I used to be. I've gone too far. I've gone too far. I've been in this thing for 3.5 years, and I'm going to stick it out, because I'm not going backwards. I'm going forward, and I'm going to persevere, because God can do what he said he's going to do. Are there any people who persevere this morning? Someone shout, persevere. Perseverance, perseverance, perseverance is powerful. And it's a quality. Again, some of you need to write this verse down. Write this verse down, but circle it and put it in the mirror every morning. Because God's answer to many of our requests, hear me now, is this. Because you're going to be like, God, you need to come through. And God's like, no, you need to persevere. You're going to be like, but I am a princess of the Lord. You know, I'm a princess of the Lord. I'm a man of faith. God's like, I know, you need to persevere. Because God's not ready to move yet. You need to persevere. And some of you are going to tell one of your friends, she's going to call you and be like, pray for me. God needs to come through. And you're going to say, let me read you a verse. You need to persevere. She'll be like, what? I wanted you to say it was going to happen by 7 o'clock. No. Because if you don't persevere, you won't see what he promised. If you throw in the towel now, you won't see what he promised. If you give up now, you won't see what he promised. If you turn back now, you won't see what he promised. And I love how the verse says, he says, you need to persevere and keep doing the will of God. Because you can wait, but not wait in the right place. Come on, somebody. You could say, well, I'm waiting on God. But yeah, but waiting is not just waiting. It's how you wait is how God comes through. You're waiting, but you're waiting with a Fuchi face. Come on, just smile, 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 smile. You're waiting, but you're all bitter. No, he says you got to persevere while doing the will of God. Lord, I'm going to wait on you, because the truth is you're God and I'm not. And I'm going to persevere even if I got to suffer for a little bit. Even if I got to go through a dry season. Even if it's a year, 3 years, 5 years, seven years, it don't matter, because God, when you come through, when you want to send the rain, when you want to bring the miracle, when you want to bring revival, I'm going to be right here, because I'm a real one, I'm a loyal one, I'm a faithful one, I'm an unwavering one, I'm a steadfast one. Some of you were more down in the hood than you've been for the kingdom. Some of you are more down for you. Some of you were more committed to the ex than you are to Jesus. And I'm telling you, if you would persevere to God, he will send the rain. He will send the rain. He will do what he promised he will do. Tell three people you need to persevere. In fact, say with an attitude, raise an eyebrow and be like, you need to persevere. Tell them. I like how the verse said, if you could do like the smolder, you know, one, you need to persevere. I can hold down one eyebrow. You need to persevere. That's what you need to do. I think this is a quality we need to teach the next generation. Parents, we got to teach this to our kids, how to persevere, how to get through tough stuff. We're losing this, you know? And the truth is, the next generation is losing it because we make it too easy for them. Oh, I'm preaching real good now. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Because we make it too easy for them. And so they're not learning how to persevere. And we think that's good parenting. No, you're stopping their ability to learn how to suffer a little bit. Oh, amen, Pastor. I'm going to say amen right there. You know, you're making it too easy. You're doing their homework because you don't want them to get a C or a B. Oh, everybody getting rebuked now. Help us, Jesus. You're like, how do we do on our project? It was your project. You know what I'm saying? How'd they give me a B? I mean, how'd they give you a B? You know? And we got a generation that's like, you know, this next generation is weak. They changed. No, you changed. Because you're making it so easy for them that they're not building perseverance. Oh, God, help me this morning. They're not building perseverance. And the truth is, you had to suffer to grow up. You were like, what you going to eat? You're going to eat what you make. What you going to do? You're going to do your homework, or you ain't going out with boo-boo. Come on, somebody. What you going to do? You go. Come on, parents. Come on. We got to teach the next generation that you got to swim too. You know? Sounds like, what am I going to eat? What you cook. But I don't know how to cook. It's a good day to learn. Come on. It's a great day to learn. I'll show you once. Next one's on you. Don't burn the house down. You know? But I don't know how to use a flame. Make a sandwich. But I don't make it like you. You want to know how I learn? Watch this. Get the... I got to teach the men how to be men. Come on, fellas, these young men. I tell my son, he's in the service. I said, all right. I say, this is when you know you're a man. You know you're a man when other people can rely on you. You don't rely on other people. That's when you know you manned up. I'm going to clap right there. Amen. Man up. You know? And we need to develop this in the next generation. We got to develop it in us, but we also got to develop it in the next generation. You see, God wants us to persevere. Now, perseverance, now you might say here, well, why? You know, like, why does God want us to persevere? Why does God want us to do that? You see, there's something powerful that happens when you begin to wait on God. There's something powerful because Elijah had to wait on God's timing. And there is a level, of course, of obedience, but there's also a level of coming to God and him developing your faith. And you gotta persevere. You gotta be able to say, I'm not gonna throw in the towel. I'm not gonna give up. I'm gonna let God. I don't know. I feel like I'm throwing the towel back to somebody right now. Someone threw in the towel last night, and I'm throwing it right back to you. God's not gonna let you quit. God's not gonna let you give up. God's not gonna let you. No, I'm sorry. He's not gonna let you. God's like, I invested too much in you. You're worth it. Now, why does God want us to persevere? Because sometimes, listen to me now, it's not, and I'm going to just flip the message, okay, so track with me. It's not that you're not ready, it's that the atmosphere is not ready. Okay. Because Elijah was like, I'm ready for the rain. And he prayed once and nothing happened, twice, nothing happened, three times, nothing happened. But God was developing perseverance. It's that the atmosphere wasn't ready. And sometimes it's not that God's like, not you're not ready. God's like, the atmosphere is not ready yet. I'm not ready to pour out the rain yet. And it almost doesn't make sense even. But God's like, I'll pour it out when I want to pour it out. And I want you to know, some of you know that this is not that you're late. It's that God says, you're in the waiting room of your faith. You know, one time I went to the dentist and I got to go back. Actually, my crown's falling off. Anyway, I can't let my crown fall off. No, that's crown. Anyway, dentist, I'm coming. Okay. But I got to the dentist, and I got there early. I was on time, because I want to be on time, because I want to leave as quick as possible. And so I was on time, but they were late. I was ready, but they weren't ready for me. Are you getting it? So I had to wait until they were ready for me. Many of you, you're ready, but they ain't ready yet. And you have to learn perseverance, or else you'll get frustrated and think, well, God, you're not here. God says, no, I'm right where I've always been. And when God gets ready to do what he wants to do, when God gets ready, your name is going to be called and no devil can stop what God wants to put in your life. No man can shut what God can open, and no man can close what God wants to open. Come on, tell someone next to you, say, your name's going to get called soon. Just say, your name's going to get called soon. Point number two, write this down. Why do we need to persevere? We need to persevere because you must stay strong even when you see nothing. Oh, Lord, help me. I got a few more minutes left here. I got a few more minutes. Lord, I wish I had more time. You know, the preachers say, I wish I had more time. We do. Come Tuesday, revival night, Irvine. Wednesday, revival night, Thursday, right? Come on, somebody. But we need to persevere because you got to stay strong when you see nothing. There's this very unique situation that happens to Elijah that I know is going to happen to all of us. Let's read it here in verse 43. Watch what it says here. It says, verse 43, he's told him, he says, go look toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and he looked. And then what did his servant tell him? He said, what did he say to him? He said, there is nothing there. Tell your neighbor there's nothing there. He said, there's nothing there. So here's Elijah, the man of God, the princess of the Lord, right? Come on. He's there and he starts to pray and he gets into the birthing position. Okay, the Bible says he puts his head between his knees. I ain't doing that. I ain't doing no yoga, all right? And so he starts to pray. And the Bible says he prays and nothing happens. Now, what is so interesting about this text is that, remember I told you last week, go back and read it in 1 Kings 18, that when he prayed, he called fire down from heaven and it consumed all the false prophets of Baal. Remember that? Okay. He only prayed once and the fire came, but this time he had to pray multiple times for the rain. There are certain things you'll pray once, but there's other things you have to pray multiple times. I can't explain it. Don't ask me. Ask God when you get to heaven. You won't care when you get to heaven, though, because you get to heaven, you'll be like, and what happened? You're going to be like, this is heaven. You're going to be happy you're there, okay? But anyway, when some things take multiple prayers, and the question that's going to happen and you'll have sooner or later in your life, listen to me now, please. I want to serve you this morning. At some point in your life, you will be praying for something and nothing will happen. Well, we're getting real up at Freedom House. I'm telling you, there will come a day where you will get in the prayer position. You will be as authentic, as genuine as you have ever been before God, like Elijah was. You don't care what people think, and you will pray, God, would you send the rain? And nothing is going to happen. Have you ever been there before? I have. I have many times where I pray and nothing happens. My wife and I, we couldn't have kids for the first 5 years of our marriage, and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and nothing happened. We would seek God and nothing would happen. And I had to ask myself the question, is this where I give up on my faith? Or is this where my faith starts? Oh God, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Who am I talking to this morning? I feel like I'm having a conversation with somebody. Is this where my faith stops? Or could this be the place where my faith in God starts? And I feel like there's someone in this room that you've been fasting for 7 days. Oh, it fits right in with where we're at. Your breath stinks. Come on. Your stomach hurts. If I see another carrot, come on, somebody. And you're like, I'm praying. And I feel like nothing's happening. I forgave them, and I feel like nothing's happening. I'm worshiping, and I feel like nothing's happening. I'm giving my tithes, or what is that, tie? A tie? Am I supposed to wear a tie? I gave my tithe, and I feel like nothing's happening. I feel like nothing is moving. I'm praying, and I feel like nothing is happening. I'm telling you, there's going to come a time in your walk with God where you will pray and nothing happens. Do you feel encouraged this morning? You're like, thanks, Pastor. But there are going to be times. And this is where I want you to hear me, okay? Is that those are the moments where we say, God, I'm a real one. I'm a real one, Lord, that I'm not seeking you for your hand. I'm seeking you for your heart. God, I'm not following you for what you give me. I'm following you because you are God and you are in charge and you are in control. And I'm going to be faithful and loyal. I'm going to persevere because there's one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to go back to the way I used to be because I was miserable. I'm going to keep believing until I see what you promised in my life. And he prayed and nothing, and prayed and nothing, and prayed and nothing. And what do you do when you pray and nothing happens? Point number three, write this down. What do you do? Because this is where you'll be, and some of you might be at that place right now. And you're like, I've been believing, right? What do? You go back again and again and again. Point number three, go back again, again, and again. Say with me, go back again, again, and again. tell the person next to you, say, go back again. You have to say it seven times. Say that seven times fast. Sally sails shields by the seashore. Again. Because the Bible says, watch this now, that Elijah, I'm almost done, Elijah prayed how many times? Seven times. How many times? I'm into biblical numerology, and there actually are threads to the Bible of how you'll see multiple numbers like 40 appear multiple times, 40 days and 40 nights. He fasted 40 days, right? 40 years. You'll see numbers appear because God is trying to speak something to you metaphorically. And the number seven, in 7 days God created the heavens and the earth, right? And you'll see seven, and the number seven means completion. Seven means completion. And the power of seven is that he prayed seven times, not to tell us, well, just pray seven times and it'll happen to you. It's because what God was showing us is there is a completion day, a completion moment to what God is asking you to persevere. There is a completion, and you got to persevere to completion. I don't know if it's going to be 7 months for you. I don't know if it's going to be 7 years for you. I don't know if it's going to be 77 days, 77 minutes, or 7 hours. I don't know if it's going to be 7 years. I don't know if it'll be 70 years. But I will tell you this, one thing's for sure, is that, Lord, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to persevere. I'm not going to give up on my assignment. I'm going to believe God for revival. I'm going to believe God for the rain. I'm going to believe God for it to come in my life because I'm not going to give up. I've come too far. I've been through too much. I'm a grown man. Some of you are a grown woman. You cannot go back to the way it used to be. You got to persevere because if God promised, he will do it. And if you don't see it until your dying breath, come on, somebody, we're going to persevere until then. Shout amen. Because that's where we show our faith. To completion. I'm going to fulfill my assignment. What assignment? Let me not don't have to super spiritualize it. The assignment of being a husband. I'm going to believe God to completion. The assignment of being a woman of God. The assignment of being a mother that imparts spiritual wisdom. The assignment of building God's kingdom. The assignment. I am going to be faithful. I'm going to persevere till God brings it in my life. Again. Say it again. Say it again. 7 times he had to do it again. And the Bible then says that he prayed, and on the 7th time, okay, some of you read this before, he says, go check one more time. And he goes and he checks one more time, and when the servant goes, he comes and he says, I see something now. Put it up there if you can on this LED screen. Here it comes. It's like, I see a cloud. It's like, whoa. So he saw a cloud. Now the Bible says the size of a man's hand. Okay, that's actually, this cloud is bigger than what was there, because but from his projection, it was small. Just a little thing. He saw a little cloud. And he ran back. And he tells him, Elijah, there's a cloud. Now why is this so powerful? Stay with me. Now, this is powerful. I'm no meteorologist, okay? I'm no Dallas Rains or maybe C7. Okay. Did a little research for this message. But clouds don't just appear. There is a cycle, the water cycle. Precipitation, evaporation, okay, the whole thing. Okay. And clouds form by rising from water. Then the water creates a cloud. The water's carried in the cloud. Then the cloud moves to desired location to release what it carried from somewhere else. So when the cloud finally came, the reason Elijah celebrated was because the proof was that while Elijah was seeing nothing, it didn't mean God wasn't doing something. Oh, that was for somebody right there. Because he said if the cloud came, that means every other time when I saw nothing, it didn't mean God was doing nothing. God was doing something where I couldn't see. He was gathering the revival from that dimension to come into my dimension and bring the rain of my location. And I come to tell somebody that as you're praying, as you're fasting, as you're worshiping, as you're seeking God, as you're being faithful, as you're persevering, as what may seem the most driest season of your entire life, just because you don't see something doesn't mean God's not doing nothing. He will transfer the necessary rain of revival from his dimension into your dimension, but you gotta persevere and you gotta be faithful to God. Come on, somebody, give God a praise and tell about three people you gotta persevere. Come on, tell three people you gotta persevere. You gotta persevere. You gotta persevere. I'm going to read you this last verse and we're going to pray here. If you're new, you're like, man, that guy gets fired up. You ain't seen none yet. Just getting warmed up. James chapter 5. Watch what the Bible says. Because it's not what I say, it's what the Bible says. This is what, because you might read stories like this and be like, well, that's Elijah, man. I mean, he's like the prophet, el profeta. James 5, watch what it says. It says, Elijah was a superhuman. No, that's not what it says. What does it say? Elijah was what? A human being, even as we are. Oh, man. Oh, God, help me. This is going to, I hope this encourages some ordinary human being in this room, online, in Irvine, in Espanol. He was just a human being like we are. Watch what it says. He prayed, but how did he pray? Earnestly. That word earnestly means perseverance. That word earnestly means to continue. That word earnestly means steadfastly, unwavering, true, loyal, didn't give up when he didn't see the result after the first, second, or third time. He prayed earnestly. That means he didn't just throw a prayer and say, it didn't work, I'm out of here. You know, it would be like you going to the gym, doing a sit-up, and be like, I didn't get a six-pack, I'm canceling my membership. Come on, somebody. But why do we approach God like that? Lord, I went and sat in one service. Why ain't my whole life transformed? God's like, you did one sit-up. You came to the gym 30 minutes. You're already looking in the mirror. Do I look skinnier? Oh, somebody. Do I 30 minutes. Do I look good? You're like, it's one treadmill, man. You burned off breakfast. Come on, somebody. We know this in the natural, but we get confused in the spiritual. And we wonder, why? Because sometimes God says, I'm cooking you up a steak, baby. I'm cooking you. Oh, what I'm, this ain't no Hot Pocket. This ain't no Hot Pocket microwave TV dinner you can buy in the frozen pre-cooked section. God's like, this one, I'm marinated. I'm slow cooking it. I'm letting it be just the right temperature so that when it comes, people will be like, man, I know God is in your life, because what the size of this breakthrough was, I know God is real. I know God can send the rain, because I know where your mind was. I know where your marriage was. I know how broken you were, how suicidal you were, how depressed you were. I knew how locked away you were. But now that I see God move in your life, I know God is going to send the rain. Somebody give God a praise.
Hey, thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor to bring you God's word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out, because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.